Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Saturday night episode of Free Talk Live. We do an open phones radio show every single night, 7 nights a week.
Really?
You can join us.
Yeah. That's what we do here?
That's right. You're here for two nights, so you know, you kind of know that.
I guess so.
And you can join us here on the phones at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian.
Speakless Mountaineer.
And I'm a little teapot, short and stout.
Good to have you. Glad you guys are here.
I did the maneuver, but nobody could see because the camera
That's
was
why
on
I didn't
me.
Ask where your tea, where your handle or your spout was.
Yeah, well, be careful of that.
We got lots of stuff to talk about here tonight. The phones are open. If you want to join the show, of course, you can bring up whatever you want to discuss. That's part of the fun of doing this show is when you bring something to the table that we weren't expecting, because we always bring stuff that we think is interesting. And to start things out here tonight, you guys have some, both of y'all have some kind of related stories looking at international finance, if you will, or
money,
international
money
situation.
Money.
You've got, Captain, the Saudi Arabian government considering now taking other currencies for their oil.
That's right.
Which would be a big change. Now, I feel kind of like this has been going on for some time. Like, they just keep printing the same headline over and over again. Are they now getting more serious about considering taking?
They keep talking about it. So, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, generally speaking, when it comes to this kind of stuff. The reason I brought it in tonight was because there were actually two mentions of it that I ran across. In my, you know,
in the news,
just, you know, my social meeting and my news viewing and that kind of thing. But
I wish they would just stop talking about it and just start doing it. Like, why is this such a hard decision?
Right.
Well, I can tell you exactly why this is such a hard
decision. They're going to get invaded by the U.S. government? Is that
why? Yeah, pretty much. So seriously, the second that they sell one single solitary drop of Saudi Arabian oil for anything other than U.S. dollars, the entire economic system of the planet collapses.
No, come on.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So
that's a little extreme.
No, I think that is exactly where we're at. So one of the biggest draws for the United States dollar, one of the things that maintains its status as the world reserve currency, in spite of all the things that America does, in spite of them not letting certain countries have their own money, in spite of losing their AAA credit rating, all of that, a big part of that is that they are the best source for oil. And every country needs oil. The vast majority of our food comes from oil. Our heat comes from oil. So the fact that you have this access to the best sources of oil, because it's China, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the United States are the big sources for oil.
Okay.
So, and this is the thing, when they closed the so-called gold window, and they no longer traded gold even to other countries for U.S. dollars, what they replaced that with was the petrodollar system. So that was where they negotiated the system where OPEC, mm-hmm. and especially Saudi Arabia, being the lion's share of oil-producing and exporting countries, made the specific agreement that any two countries, no matter who they are, wherever they are in the world, if they're trading this oil, they have to use dollars. This was, in fact, a big part of why Saddam Hussein got overthrown, is because he started doing all of this trading in oil, not in U.S. dollars, but in euros.
Yeah, and we saw a similar thing with Gaddafi when he said he was going to go to the gold standard
there,
and they just took him out.
But that doesn't explain to me, at least, why you think that there would be this economic calamity for the entire planet.
Okay,
I understand that it would put the dollar's world reserve status in jeopardy, and that it would probably start whittling away at that, but it's not going to be an overnight crash.
The entire financial system of the planet is founded on the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency. efficiency. Now, as soon as these massive sources of oil can be gotten for any other thing, as soon as you can take yuan and trade that for oil, all the countries of the world go, oh, well, I don't have enough yuan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap, I don't have any yuan.
Oh, you mean currencies become competitive again?
Exactly. So they go, oh, well, I have all these dollars, but no yuan. So I better have less dollars and more yuan so that they can cover their bets, because who knows what the United States is going to decide to do.
So they sell their dollars and they get yuan, which drives the price of the dollar down on the market.
Right. Cuts it in half, destroys its place as the reserve currency.
I can see a scenario where that happens. I just don't think, like, you're making it out to be instantaneous. I think it'll take a course of time. I don't know what that time frame is. It could be
maybe
months, years. Yeah. You know, governments are, if they're anything besides evil, they are tenacious, right? And they figure out ways around stuff, you know, frequently, especially if they sort of step on their own, you know, genitals in the process of doing stuff, right? They figure out a way around it.
That's
but
visual.
This does specifically say after a 48-year relationship solely with the U.S. dollar, Saudi Arabia's finance minister Mohammed al-Jadan said the kingdom is open to trading in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. The statements follow China's president Jinping urging the Gulf monarchs to accept yuan for oil, and Riyadh officials saying last March, so this is harkening back to when we covered this last year, that the country would consider accepting the Chinese currency. So it's been talked about previously last year.
And talked about.
But now they're finally saying that they are open to accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the news here. This week, the world's elite met in the Swiss Alpine town of Davos for the 2023 World Economic Forum, and Saudi Arabia's finance minister spoke to Bloomberg TV on Tuesday and said Saudi Arabia is open to trading in other currencies. There are no issues with discussing how we settle our trade arrangements, whether it's in the U.S. dollar, the euro, or the real, he said. The finance minister added, I don't think we are waving away or ruling out any discussion that will help improve the trade around the world. The Saudi Arabian finance minister's statements have been interpreted as another step toward de-dollarization. To understand why Al-Jadan's comments are significant, one must go back in time. In 1971, the U.S. government and President Nixon ended the gold standard, and over the next 3 years, oil prices skyrocketed. In 1973 and 74, federal officials and U.S. Treasury Secretary William Simon visited with the monarchs in Riyadh.
Well, okay, so there's no doubt that the dollar ending its world reserve status would be bad for people holding dollars, right? Like, that's economically a bad thing for those people. But for anybody that's smart enough to get out of the dollar and diversify prior to that, then that's a good thing, right?
What, all five people that are willing to hold things other than the U.S. dollar? Yeah.
Well, that's going to change. It's going to be more than five once the...
Yeah.
It's going to be a race to do that, right?
That's exactly it. That's the thing.
That's why it may be faster than you think it's going to be.
Right, and that's why...
I welcome the currency wars.
And that's why I say the second one drop of oil gets traded by Saudi Arabia for anything other than dollars, because that's the thing. They have been absolutely resolute in their agreement never to trade Saudi oil for anything but dollars.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, the only way that it has ever been done is by weird workarounds. And like I was saying, that was one of the things that got Saddam Hussein overthrown, is that he used this workaround where, oh, well, there was this special deal where through the UN there was the food for oil program where they would trade food and medicine for oil. But since it was being handled through this bank and by the UN, it was kind of a workaround. But he insisted that he would only do it in euros.
Mm-hmm.
And the euro was having incredible trouble competing with the dollar at that point, and then suddenly it shoots up to $2.50 dollars per euro.
Yeah.
So if Saudi Arabia breaks its agreement to never trade in anything but dollars, that eliminates one of the biggest reasons that countries are holding on to dollars.
Great. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, wonderful.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this Black Swan event for years.
Okay, well, you were making it sound like this would be like total economic disaster for the entire planet, and I just don't know if that's true.
The shakeup is going to be rough.
Sure.
No, I'm saying, okay, I am saying that it is going to be a complete financial meltdown, a complete financial collapse of the entire system.
Talking about stockbrokers jumping off roofs
wonderful.
And stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you will see the same kind of like 1929 phenomena from that. But, yeah, and it's going to be a complete collapse, which I think is great.
And
I
entirely
think that's
necessary.
Exactly what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of an entire planet running on fiat is completely insane.
Well,
right?
This won't change that.
What's so funny to me? What's so funny to me is that since the advent of Bitcoin and the thousands of other cryptocurrencies that exist, the standards for currency have risen, right? Because cryptocurrencies are far more. They're far more valuable, in my opinion, because they can do more. That's money with programmable features, something that fiat currency cannot and does not and will not ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as cryptocurrencies evolve, we're seeing fiat currencies, that is government-sponsored, government-controlled currencies by these central reserve banks. We're seeing them now have to become competitive with each other in order to remain sort of relevant on the global market. And so as these fiat currencies attempt to compete with each other, what they have to do is they have to at the very least, come up to the standard of cryptocurrency.
Which they can't do.
Which they can't do. It's right. Not going to be possible. So
all they have is the CBDC, the central bank digital currency idea,
right.
Which is just another, you know, another level of control, total
right.
control for fiat people.
Right. So what it's doing is it's revealing fiat currency as the monopoly money that it actually is.
Yeah, but that said, I mean, I appreciate your optimism, and I'm also optimistic, although over the long term, I don't think that Saudi Arabia saying, yeah, we'll take the Chinese yuan and we'll take the euro, the odds that they're going to say, and Bitcoin...
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I'm not even talking about the countries
accepting. I'm just saying that fiat currencies, which is government-sponsored money, are not only entering a war sort of with themselves, right? That is the yuan versus the dollar versus the rupee versus, you know, all the state-sponsored currencies. They're entering a war with themselves. But because this other thing exists, known as cryptocurrency, there's now a standard that these fiat currencies... we'll be forced to strive to achieve. They're never going to do it, but because there's this other thing out here, they're going to be forced to attempt to, and that's why we're going to see the CBDCs and things of that nature. They're going to be forced to attempt to come up to that standard, or at least create something that is interchangeable with that. But my whole point is that all currency should be competitive. And if your currency that you're pimping, whether you're a state, a local organization, or a decentralized thing, should all be on the same playing field competing with each other. And that's how it should be. And the one with the or ones with the most value for your chosen interaction are the ones you should use. If it doesn't have any value, if I'm doing an exchange with Peakless Mountaineer and it doesn't make sense for me to exchange in yuan, why would I? I should use the currency that is the least cost and the most valuable to the two of us in our individual exchange. And that should go for every exchange between humans on planet Earth. You should use the currency best suited to your specific exchange.
And that's exactly why I say it doesn't matter if they don't, especially initially, accept Bitcoin for it. It doesn't matter because you break the dam. Like right now, what we have is an enforced monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're familiar with, the free market does not allow monopolies to exist for any noticeable period of time. The only thing that can allow that
is governments.
Right.
That's right.
The only thing that can allow that is force, and the only effective way that you can maintain enough force to maintain a monopoly is if that force is accepted. So, like, right now, we have the fact that the United States is trying to exert force throughout the globe, and, well, China doesn't accept that force, Saudi Arabia doesn't accept that force, Russia doesn't accept that force, but there they are trying to exert force throughout the globe. But since that's not accepted, they can't exert enough force to maintain the monopoly.
Sure, they're losing their grip, and I think I agree with you, that is a great thing. But take me from, at least how you're seeing this, from, let's say this goes forward, Saudi Arabia says, all right, we're letting in the euro, we're letting in the yuan, maybe one or other two, you know, other world currencies. But they stop there because they're not going to do, you know, Bitcoin the favor of allowing that to happen. So, you know, more competition amongst fiat. OK, fine. But we all know they're still printing and printing. And it's a race to the bottom as far as those are concerned. So how does that get us to where?
So it doesn't matter if they accept anything other than the yuan or not. Mm-hmm. But the second that it doesn't matter which other currency they accept, the second that they are not exclusively dollar only, all of these other countries have to go, oh, crap, whatever they're accepting, if it's one thing, if it's five things, mm-hmm. whatever they're accepting, I need to get some of that and have less dollars. So let's say it's just one thing to make my case harder for me. Okay, it's just yuan. It's yuan and dollars.
The dollars. Yeah,
right. Okay, so all these countries that are holding treasuries in dollars have to cut their treasuries in dollars in half. So half of that goes to yuan. So right off the bat, you have a massive increase in the value of Bitcoin.
So it forces the countries who are buying oil already to diversify the currency that they hold.
Exactly.
Okay. You're saying that Bitcoin goes up in value as compared to the dollar because the dollar will go down in value?
Well, as compared to the dollar and as compared to everything else. So every single time that the dollar goes down in value, Bitcoin goes up in value. It's no, this is one-to-one. I mean, there's a time delay, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But the dollar goes up, then it peaks, then it starts going down. After it goes down, you see the parabolic increase in Bitcoin value every single time.
Hmm.
So that's going to happen to some extent just right off the bat. But here's the thing. As soon as you break that dam, now we have currencies competing for their actual value instead of just leaving it on the assumption that the number one currency is the dollar. I mean, the current assumption is the United States military cannot be defeated, and it maintains a global order on oil, and that fundamentally, you can always get oil for one currency, and that currency is the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these countries. Now, they need to be sure they can always have oil. Otherwise, there will be massive deaths in their country, and they lose their tax base is really what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be sure they can keep getting this oil. So as soon as you have a competitive market, okay, now you have monies competing on their actual value.
So you're saying Bitcoin will finally be competing on a more fair basis in the world market.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the second you have people actually analyzing this and going, oh, wait a second, one of these things is not like the others.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are printable. All of these have no cap. This has 21 million permanent absolute cap. So it's going to rocket in terms of value.
Hmm.
Gold also would rocket in terms of value because you have a fixed stock-to-flow ratio just in terms of what is physically capable in reality. There's only so much and so fast you can mine gold. So it has a natural limit on how quickly it can be printed where no paper currency does. So once you have these currencies actually fighting on their own merits, you're going to see the best one winning.
It'll be more clear,
right,
to people. Okay. And that may eventually lead places like Russia or Saudi Arabia to say, all right, we will take Bitcoin, because they were teasing that earlier in 2020 after the Ukraine invasion. We saw these headlines about Russian central bank considering allowing Bitcoin payments,
like St. Kitts doing their Bitcoin Cash thing. We've got Venezuela doing the Bitcoin thing.
Not really.
There's another country doing the Bitcoin.
El Salvador.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, thank you. These are...
That could spread.
Yeah, these are, in my mind, planting seeds, mm-hmm. right? Just like we talk about planting seeds of freedom and liberty and peace and, you know, the non-aggression principle, all that kind of stuff as we go throughout our daily lives. I think we're seeing that happen with cryptocurrency around the world. You know, Keen is a seed, right, in and of itself, as, you know, this show being one of the pioneers to first talk about cryptocurrency, Free Talk Live, that is. Keene, New Hampshire, being one of the first communities to have multiple places accepting cryptocurrency. That's mm-hmm. a seed. People who don't move here for liberty but come here and visit and all that kind of thing, they're like, oh, wow, you guys take crypto? That's, you know, did you see the Bitcoin? Like, we are if anything else, an early adopter of future technology, showing that it can be done. And so are these other places. And as these fiat currencies begin to compete with each other, they're going to have to innovate. That's the only way they can increase their value, is to innovate. The only way to innovate right now is to compete with what already exists. And outside of the realm of government fiat currencies exists cryptocurrency.
Well, that may take us to your story, Pikulis, which is about how apparently Iran and Russia are considering creating a gold-backed stablecoin. Now, we have to explain for newer listeners what a stablecoin is. Captain, yeah. You want to take a crack at that?
No.
Okay. A stablecoin is a cryptocurrency, generally. Now, it may be different when it's implemented by a government, but generally a stablecoin is a cryptocurrency token. Now, a token is different from a cryptocurrency in that it usually rides on top of an existing cryptocurrency network. So we usually hear about stablecoins in the form of dollar-based stablecoins or yuan-based or some fiat-based stablecoin. And what it essentially means is that the company offering the stablecoin has a vault or a bank account somewhere where they purportedly have, you know, $1 billion.
Bunch of gold.
And so they have a billion stable coins of whatever the name is on this cryptocurrency network.
Yeah, so if it's pegged to dollars, then they either have, sometimes it will be dollars. Cool. Sometimes it will be like, well, we have some dollars and a bunch of treasuries, because that way we
couldn't
can
it be pegged to weight, though? Hmm? Couldn't the token, instead of representing a dollar figure, couldn't it represent the weight?
Right.
Like, and this token is worth 1 ounce of gold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, they have those.
Absolutely. Right. One of the ones that I use is Pax Gold.
Pax Gold.
Yeah.
Right.
Is a gold stable coin. It pegs its value.
Okay, so the thing they're trying to invent already exists.
That's correct.
All right.
No, these have been around for years.
Well, so I know the stable coins have been around for years. I didn't know that there was a gold.
There are silver ones, too.
Oh,
yeah. Now, some of them have come and gone. Some of them have come and gone, from what I understand.
Oh,
so
maybe,
I mean,
maybe that's it.
It's you never know what you're getting into as far as whether these things are going to survive or not. But they do exist, and I've heard of the Pax one. That seems to be one of the more noteworthy ones. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any of the other ones off the top of my head. But
the thing I find laughable, and what did we say? It was Russia and who?
Iran.
Russia and Iran trying to create a gold-backed cryptocurrency or stablecoin?
Stablecoin.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and that's the real change here is that, okay, so Pax Gold is a company. So how stable is that company? Is that company going to be around in 10 years? I mean, these are kind of questionable things, and given that cryptocurrency has only existed for a little over a decade, people are like, oh, I don't know if that company
Why couldn't some other, you know, mafia-esque, because we know the state is mafia-esque, why couldn't some other mafia-esque organization create their own gold-backed stablecoin, like the cartel, for example?
Because the United States would destroy them.
Well, the problem, of course, with the stablecoins is that they're generally centralized. And so, you know, as you pointed out, if this company Paxos goes out of business, what happens to the stablecoin? What happens to their reserve of gold? Does it all just disappear? Does all of a sudden your stablecoins go to zero in value?
You ship you a big ton of gold to your front door?
What if the government raids their vaults and takes all their gold? More coming up. Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
The U.S. USA News. I'm Dave Collins. A Florida woman who was barricaded in a hospital room is facing first-degree murder charges after shooting and killing her terminally ill husband. The victim, Jerry Gillen, was planning to commit suicide inside the Daytona Beach hospital room, but didn't have the strength. His wife, Ellen, shot him once in the head before barricading herself in the room. The SWAT team used a flash bang device to distract her. She was taken into custody. No one else was injured. President Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will discuss the debt ceiling.
Speaker Kevin McCarthy immediately pretty much responding on Twitter to that invitation about a meeting at the White House, saying, quote, President Biden, I accept your invitation to sit and discuss a responsible debt ceiling increase to address irresponsible government spending.
Graceland is hosting a public memorial service for Lisa Marie Presley tomorrow. Fans will be able to view the gravesite following the memorial service. Dave Collins, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. The phones are opening here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. I want to say thank you to Paul, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Paul has signed up over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon, and he's on gold level. We only ask for $5 a month. Paul's doing 10. Thank you, Paul, for stepping up and helping us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. At this time, at the beginning of the year, we launched a brand new format. And I think it's working out very well, where we've cut out two entire commercial breaks per hour from the show. We got 8 more minutes per hour of actual showtime, and it's led to better conversations, deeper delving into the topics. We can keep callers on and get a little bit deeper with them as well. So it's been really great so far. It also just happened to correspond with a drop-off of all of our advertisers as well. I don't know whether that has anything to do with the fact the federal government is after us or that maybe the advertising model just doesn't work the way it used to. I don't know. But the reality is it would be great to never have another advertiser again. I'd be totally fine with that, but it does require us to have more direct listener support. So if you appreciate what we do here, Please join Paul over at amps.freetalklive.com. You can contribute, unfortunately, dollars, although I think Patreon will convert. So if you're in another country or whatever and you've got, you know, Canadian dollars or Australian dollars, you can probably spend those too. Unfortunately, I'm still prohibited by the government from accepting any kind of cryptocurrency. So maybe at some point, you know, we'll be able to get back to that.
One day.
But for now, we have to use the haram money in order to run this show. So please go to amps.freetalklive.com and you can get signed up there. You get some perks like access to the Amp Only podcast, which has the full radio show without recorded commercials every single day over at amps.freetalklive.com.
Is there a way that people can send a one-time, you know, donation to Free Talk Live to using cryptocurrency still?
Used to be like not in any sort of useful format because I can't receive it. Maybe somebody else could receive it in some way, but I can't authorize that. Right. I can't touch it, basically.
I just thought there was some legacy thing like the old tip jar or something like that. That
I don't know. I mean, those...
Oh, that's
somebody may have access to those things. I don't know who that would be.
Okay.
So those aren't currently being featured on our website for that reason. So sorry about that.
It's fair.
Government. So you can go to amps.freetalklive.com and you can help us out there. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Paul, for that. So we've been talking about some big financial changes here. Saudi Arabia, once again, talking about they apparently said they're quote-unquote open to accepting payment in other currencies.
At least the yuan was, you know, one that they specifically mentioned.
That apparently isn't the same thing as saying, okay, we're accepting payment. I mean, it sounds almost like that, but they haven't done it yet.
So I think, in my mind, it sounds like what they're doing is this. Saudi Arabia's going, okay, we want to take more than the dollar, but we also don't want to get bombed by the U.S. So let's just lob a couple softballs out there going, hey, you know, we're open to taking other currencies and see if that, like, you know, sort of pokes the bear and angers the giant. And if it doesn't, then perhaps we will go ahead and accept these currencies.
Sort of test the waters, see if anyone bites on this, like what kind of back channel talk is going to happen, like what kind of, oh, well, we're going to threaten sanctions on your friend over there.
Right.
Well,
wasn't it already Saudi Arabia who a few months ago, the king or whoever it was refused to return Joe Biden's phone calls?
It sure was. So it's a really interesting thing that's been going with this. So there was so much pushback after the murder of Khashoggi. I'm not sure if I'm
by the Saudi Arabian government.
By the Saudi Arabian government, who was like Washington Post?
Some journalist.
So there was so much American pushback on that they had to reduce the amount of support that they were giving for Saudi Arabia's genocide in Yemen. And they reduced their support so much that they upset the Saudi prince, who, I mean, it's an absolute monarchy there. And at this point, the prince pretty much does all of the day-to-day work on there. So, like, he runs this country. So he's upset that the United States is not murdering their enemies and helping them murder their enemies completely. So that's been part of what's driving them into the arms of Russia and China at this point. So part of this is this whole, I'll go this far. Well, what are you going to do if I go this far? And they're sort of testing the waters, seeing how much of a response they can provoke by doing this and by doing this. But one of the things that's fascinating to me on this, so China has worked diligently to make certain that it is not the new reserve currency of the planet. And with good reason. So China's whole, like, their, what is holding them up and moving them forward as a country is their manufacturing base. They are the world's manufacturers. Everyone knows, oh, you get your cheap plastic crap from China.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone knows that, and China wants to keep it that way. But the thing is, you can either have a manufacturing base or be the world's reserve currency. You cannot do both. Because the second you become the world's reserve currency, your dollars are so valuable that your local merchants can't afford to keep making things because no one will buy them. Yeah. So they've worked very diligently to make sure that they don't become the new world reserve currency when everyone's trying to leave the dollar, because everyone's upset about the dollar being used as this bludgeoning tool to get everything that the United States wants. And, oh, well, we'll kick you off the SWIFT system and we'll keep your money. Everyone is kind of upset about that and wants a different currency to be available. And China's like, don't look at me. So I'm not going to do it.
So here's a question. Why does there need to be a global reserve currency?
There doesn't.
Like whose idea was that, and what's the point?
So it's called competing for liquidity. So the whole point of having not barter is that you have a single thing that is the most saleable good.
But competition already shows us, and multiple thousands of cryptocurrencies shows us, that you don't need a single currency. You can have multiple currencies.
Clearly you do, though. So that's the thing. I mean, for one thing...
How is that clearly we do?
Okay, so gold. The reason that gold emerged as the global currency is because of this competing for liquidity thing. So directly before gold was the currency, it was gold and silver. Silver being more common in the East.
And, I mean, there's always been multiple currencies.
Not really. See, that's the thing. You're competing for liquidity. So if one thing is more liquid than the other, that is to say that it is more reliably desired than the other, then it ends up pulling more of that monetary value from whatever else is being used as money.
Right, but shouldn't there be a natural ebb and flow to that instead of, like, one empire designating itself the global reserve currency?
Well... So what has happened traditionally is that was determined by the market. Basically what happened is...
So this wasn't determined by the market. What we have today, though, is determined by politicians.
Right.
And militaries.
It was a con game. So the market throughout the globe determined that gold was the most saleable good. And then, oh, well, we have the best backing of gold. Was determined politically. And then they went, yeah, we're not backed by gold anymore.
Right.
But, and that's the thing, it's just been entropy that's holding this thing up. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was designed for this, because, oh, well, you have the most stable backing of gold.
Okay, so I think the terminology is confusing, right? World reserve currency seems to have that government-y kind of mandate feel, whereas market leader... is, or market liquidity leader or whatever, is something that can shift and can change
and
over time, right?
Yeah. Well,
because something is most accepted doesn't necessarily mean it's 51% accepted. It could still be more accepted than anything else at 33% or whatever, right? So, like, what would it end up being in the absence of the coercion of the dollar hegemony?
So, in the absence of the coercion, you still end up with a global reserve. It's just that it's a global reserve of savings institutions instead of countries. The reason that has that association of being dictated and forced-based is because right now the majority of buying power is wielded by these force-based institutions.
Mm-hmm.
When the majority of buying power is not wielded by these force-based institutions, you're still going to have this movement towards a single most saleable good.
And that may become Bitcoin.
Right.
At some point.
Right. And my guess is very much that it will be Bitcoin for at least one point
if we look at the cryptocurrency market as it is right now by itself with the thousands of different cryptocurrencies that are in there,
mm-hmm.
you could say that Bitcoin is the leader.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Right, in that respect.
But it's not leading by a majority.
Right. But it's also,
used to be.
Right, and it's not force-based.
It's
right,
at so currently it's at 41%. They have a rating called the Bitcoin dominance percentage or rating. And if you go to CoinGecko or CoinMarketCap.com, it's right there at the top of the page. So 41% means that 41% of the total value of all the cryptocurrencies in the world combined belongs to Bitcoin.
Right.
Second place is Ethereum with 18.3%. So, I mean... It's nipping at its heels.
What, half, roughly?
It's getting there, though. But consider that Bitcoin several years ago before 2017, I think, was it like 90% dominance?
Yeah.
So I think that these are two different perceptions on what cryptocurrency is. So the one perception of this is that, okay, well, this is just internet money. And the other perception of this is that focus, like you were pointing out, that, okay, well, it's also programmable. It's also this thing where you can, like, decentralize computing
processes. And it's backed by something more valuable than gold, in my opinion, math.
Right. So from what I can see, the two separations that are, that people have on this, there's the, like, pure money side of this, and there's the money plus side of this. Now, the money plus side of this is very much dominated by Ethereum. Ethereum has been absolutely killing it on, hey, we're the ones who run all of the decentralized computing. If you want a token, get it through us. And they've been just dominating that side of the market. And I honestly don't think that these two are really compatible with each other and should be compared with each other. But since they're both forms of cryptocurrency, they get, you know, compared with each other as the, well, you're the 20-ish percent, you're the 40-ish percent of this single market. But the people haven't really figured out what it is yet. So which side of this is going to be more powerful than the other hasn't been decided.
Yeah, we don't know.
And there's also the entire possibility that they'll go, okay, well, why don't we put everything that Ethereum does as a layer on top of the protocol of Bitcoin? So that is a that remains a possibility, in which case you will end up seeing both of them explode and no longer be
competing. I think that's totally possible.
Right.
All right, so we were just getting into this news about Iran and Russia possibly introducing what's called a stablecoin, but ostensibly backed by gold. And what we were saying before the break was that there are problems with stablecoins, and the problems with stablecoins all stem from centralization.
Right.
So the benefit of a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin is you can't pin it down. There's no one office. There's no Bitcoin Corporation, where there's a board of directors that can all be targeted and taken out or infiltrated or whatever. So, and they don't have one specific server location where the servers can go down. It's decentralized. It is distributed. The blockchain is this ledger that is public, and it's distributed over thousands of locations, I think 10,000 plus locations all across the planet. The miners are all over the planet, so it's diversified, and it basically can't be stopped. With a crypto or with a stable coin, it's riding on the back of a cryptocurrency that is diversified and, you know, decentralized like Ethereum, but it's being issued by and controlled by a smart contract, which was written by some corporation or some individual or whatever, and this corporation does have a board of directors, and they do have a head office somewhere on the planet, and they do have a centralized bank account or a vault with gold in it or whatever it is we're talking about that the stable coin is, because, again, one stable coin is usually, quote-unquote, backed by a thing, whether it be a dollar or an ounce of gold or a gram of gold or whatever.
If you want to be able to redeem this for something else, you have to have a place to do it.
Correct.
And that means that you have to have a central place to do it. So you can have all of the ledger is being kept globally and is kind of indestructible, but you can't do that with the ability to exchange this for dollars or, in this case, gold.
In my head, I was thinking, as you were describing that, I was thinking, are you proposing a decentralized stablecoin? And then I thought, if that's possible, then I also just invented Blowcoin. This is cocaine-based cryptocurrency. Right? Whatever a gram of coke is going for is what the token is worth or whatever.
I'd be surprised if someone hadn't come up with that one yet. But, yeah, there was actually some discussion that...
Available at an Instagram vending machine near you.
There was some discussion of that by nobody and I off the air prior to the raid happening. We were talking about how would you decentralize the storage of a gold-backed stablecoin? Because if you can figure that out, then you may actually have something.
Is that even possible to decentralize
I think it is a
precious metal-based thing?
I think it could be, but I don't want to get too far off into the weeds on that.
Yeah.
But if somebody can figure that out, then that would be a real step forward because one of the problems with stablecoins beyond centralization, one of the sort of inherent problems with centralization, is it relies on trust. You have to trust that this company called Tether or this company called Paxos or whoever is issuing these stablecoins is actually has what they say they have, meaning that they actually have the number of dollars that they claim to have issued that's in a vault somewhere. And some of these companies, like Tether, supposedly won't even allow like a third-party audit, so you don't even know. And then, you know, again, what even if they're being honest, let's say an audit does come in, it's like, yeah, looks good. They got everything that they say they have. Well, what if somebody steals from the vault? What if the government comes in and shuts down the vault, takes all the money out, says, well, we're charging you criminally and we're going to take this $1 billion, or in Tether's case, $66 billion now.
Which I think if Tether expands enough, I think they will get targeted by the U.S. federal
government. They're already being targeted.
And they'll be like, hey, we're the only ones allowed to do this.
How about since we're all sort of slaves anyway to governments in one way or another at various percentages depending on the government you live under. Could you do a stable coin based or backed by the value of every human on planet Earth?
Well, how would you exchange that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, in theory, a stable coin should be exchangeable. So if it's backed by something, you should be able to get the backing out of it.
You should be able to like trade your citizens to another country to get your value out of the humans.
I think that's how special drawing rights work.
So you got to trust these companies, and that's a problem. That's a reason why not to hold these things. If you're going to have a stable coin, you probably shouldn't have it for very long, because if that company goes under, then there goes the value. It's going to go to zero instantly.
It's funny that they're called stable coins, but based on your description and definition of the stable coins, they're probably one of the least stable things in cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I mean, they could go away.
And the vast majority, from what I understand, the vast majority of the use of stable coins is on exchanges. So at that point, you are trusting two companies to continue to exactly the exchange and the stablecoin backing provider.
I mean, it is nice within the cryptocurrency world to have something that you can move your whatever cryptocurrency into to represent dollars for a while until you need to move it into something else without leaving sort of the digital domain. Right, that's nice to have. It's a functional utility.
Let's go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. What is your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Sean Miller. I'm the president and executive director of the Liberty Policy Alliance. Bonnie mentioned it to you guys, I believe.
Hey, Sean, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, nothing much. I was just told this would be a good opportunity to talk about my award, so I just figured I'd call in and
your award show.
Our new libertarian policy organization.
Okay, well, what is it? You said the Liberty or Liberty Policy Alliance?
Yes.
What does it do?
So we're a brand new libertarian policy org. We're a bunch of former YAL guys, Young Americans for Liberty, and we decided that we were going to take what we learned, take our knowledge from the Liberty movement, and start applying it in a much larger scale. We're going to be fighting for policies like constitutional carry. We're going to be fighting for criminal justice reform. We're going to be fighting for stuff like ranked choice voting, getting felons not just their voting rights back, but their Second Amendment rights back.
Okay.
A lot of big stuff.
And this is on a federal level that you're fighting for this stuff?
We're going to be fighting in state legislatures across the country.
Gotcha. Great.
We're going to be starting with Florida Concarry, because Ron DeSantis is running for president, and I don't think anybody doesn't believe that at that point. But we're also looking for big things in New Hampshire as well. I saw Bonnie speak on DMT decriminalization and deregistering. So that's going to something like along those lines is what we're looking. Stuff like that is what we're looking to fight.
Did you feel like there were other organizations in the libertarian movement that just weren't focusing in these areas?
Partially, yeah. But it was more about that we felt we were ready to spread our wings. We want to be a booster to the already existing libertarian orgs fighting on this on these issues. That's why we call ourselves an alliance. We're looking to coalition build, and we're also just not going to be working with libertarians. We're going to be willing to work with Republicans who agree with us on our issues, Democrats who agree with us on our issues.
Okay.
And we're just going to be, here. My idea is to be here for the long haul, and hopefully our message, our organization's like motto is liberty in our lifetime.
Okay.
And we talk about it all the time where individual liberty is arguably the most sacred the most sacred belief in the United States amongst those in the libertarian movement.
Hear, hear.
And we want to do our part to spread that as a message and not be and try our best to be a shining example for others who may come in behind us.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're willing to work with the Republicans and the Democrats if you agree with them.
Yeah,
on
the inclusive
issues.
Model is very cool.
It's the only way you're going to get anything done. That's the way that it works here in New Hampshire, where the liberty activists who've become state representatives, they're willing to work with anybody that agrees with them. They're going to reach out to the Democrats to try to get some drug reform put into place this year and so on and so forth. So I think that definitely works. Of course, it helps when you actually have libertarians in office, which we have here in New Hampshire, and you pretty much don't have anywhere else. So you mentioned Florida. You talked about constitutional carry as an issue. Do they not have that yet down there? Are they still waiting?
They do not.
They do not. And they also still have the... A lot of the chunk of the garbage from that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill that includes red flag laws and they don't even have licensed open carry in the state of Florida. So this is going to be a.
Yeah, I remember when I lived down there, when I turned 21, my dad gave me a gun for my birthday and he gave me this packet of paperwork. Like this manila folder with just a stack of, I don't know, 50 pages of paperwork.
There you go, son. You got to own a gun. You got to do your homework.
Here's the legal stuff you got to do in order to get a concealed carry permit. I was just like, screw this. Threw that crap away.
Yeah. If you are ever carrying a gun in Florida, I suggest that you do so on the way to go fishing.
Or on the way out of the state. Never come back. If you're libertarian, you should be in New Hampshire.
I'm going fishing. In New Hampshire. Goodbye.
I hear a lot of libertarians talk about the free state of Florida. How free is it if I can't exercise my Second Amendment right without the government right behind me on my ass?
Yeah, those libertarians are just afraid of winter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This whole free state of Florida thing, I don't know who came up with it, but it must be the federal government to try to, you know, like distract people into thinking there's some other alternative to New Hampshire, because libertarians, if you move to Florida, you're going to have zero effect. There's 20 plus million people down there, and you are going to be one of those people. Whereas up here, the libertarians actually are getting elected. Libertarians are influencing policy in Concord and making an impact. I'm interested in hearing how your Liberty Policy Alliance develops. Sean, do you guys have any sort of social media website together yet? Go ahead.
We have Twitter. And we have a website. The website, we haven't gotten the domain handle on, so it's linked through the Twitter. But if you go find Liberty Policy Alliance on Twitter, we've got our Twitter, we've got our Google site going. We're gonna get the domain here in the next couple of days. But we have two things going. We've got a gun rights poll going, and we've just got a contact us poll.
Great.
Contact us, like a little contact thing going. If people want to reach out to us.
Well, feel free to call us up anytime with any victory stories that you want to tout. Definitely appreciate you reaching out here tonight.
If you need to recruit more help, please call back in.
Yeah, and anything you can do to help us in New Hampshire, certainly we appreciate that as well. Thank you, Sean, for the call tonight. There's more coming up here, more on the way.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.